You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about the four warning signs that indicate that you're in a toxic relationship. Interesting. Toxic relationships. You know, a lot of us wonder, is our relationship good? Is it healthy? Is this going to sustain? Is this a successful and happy relationship? And sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you kind of teeter on the unknown. Is this really good? Is it not good? Is this how other people live? Is this how other people live? Is this how other people are in a relationship? Is this how it feels for most? Or is this different? And tonight we're talking about the four warning signs that indicate that you're in a toxic relationship. And the reason why we're doing this show is because I think it's so important. Because a lot of times we don't talk to other people when we're having problems. We don't tell other people when our relationship seems to be falling apart. Because we really don't know, is it? Is this normal? Is this what other people deal with? Or on the flip side, is this not good? And sometimes we also get a little weirded out. I mean, what if we bring this up to people? Will they call some sort of protective services? Will they look down upon us? What's going to happen? And so tonight, if you know somebody that you think is in a toxic relationship, or if you feel that you're in a toxic relationship, this is going to help you out tonight. Because I think that these four common warning signs, maybe not common, but specific, are where we need to start tonight. So let's begin. The first warning sign that you are in a toxic relationship. This is interesting because it normally goes hand in hand with every toxic relationship that I've seen that's come into my therapy office and I've dealt with. The first one is always putting one spouse down.
That's a bad one.
That's a bad one.
Well, I mean, especially in public, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and this also pertains to people that are in a relationship, whether it's, girlfriend, boyfriend, or long-term marriage. Always putting one person down. I mean, think about that. When you're in front of other people, like Bill just said, and like making it all their fault, like talking about how stupid they are or what a bonehead move they made or they couldn't believe they did that, especially when you're in public. My God. I mean, that's just awful. I mean, that makes you feel like you absolutely have no power. You feel yay small. You feel tiny. You feel like a little action figure and you're stuck over there. It's almost like your mom or dad putting you down in front of people at church. I mean, how did you deal with that as a little kid? You normally went off and cried, right?
Yeah, not good.
Not good because you got disrespected in front of a bunch of people. I mean, instead of building you up, they're constantly putting you down. You know, they're either doing it in public or private. And that's what's so awful about it, because a lot of times people in toxic relationships, they don't really realize that this isn't normal. And sometimes the reason why they don't realize it's not normal is because of the fact that they've dealt with it with their family. Mom or dad might have been that way. And so their whole growing up, like 18 years of growing up before they left the house, was based on someone constantly putting them down. And so then they move into another relationship outside of the family nucleus, and they meet somebody, and that person does the same stuff that mom or dad did. And they're like, well, that seems familiar. You know, you don't really think about the fact that this is just wrong.
It's like children of alcoholics tend to hook up with alcoholics. It's normal.
You're right. They do.
And if you're an enabler in that type of situation, you'll become an enabler, or at least you'll tend to become an enabler in your own relationship.
You know, it's interesting when you see like young couples or longtime married couples, you know, where the spouse or one of the couples goes off on people in front of other people, goes off on that spouse, you know, putting them down on their work, on their career, or maybe just the general attitude of their faults. And Bill, have you ever been there? I've been there before, where you're sitting at the table with people. Oh my gosh, this is the worst feeling.
Uh-huh.
And you're sitting there and everybody's having a decent night.
Right.
You know, and you're all at the restaurant hanging out and everybody orders their food. And the waiter asks whatever, and they come back. And next thing you know, out of the blue, like the couple sitting next to you, the guy or the girl says something just awful.
Tacky.
Yeah. And you just kind of go, oh, my God. You know, and you kind of look over there. And at first you think it's got to be some sort of strange humor, maybe, you know, because you want to think the best.
You want to know one of the most awkward situations I've ever been in.
What was it?
A cousin and I were over at one of his friends' house. We were having a little get together. And one of the guys who was there asked his wife for the keys to the car. She like, why? Why do you need the keys to the car? And, you know, because it was cold outside. We, a couple of us guys were going to go, make a quick run to the store. So, and, you know, she just kept questioning, why? Why do you want the keys? Why do you need them? And she's like, you know, dear, it's cold outside. I want my jacket.
Wow.
You know, but I mean, and the rest of us are just, our eyes are just wide as dinner plates.
You're like, she is literally berating this guy.
Yeah.
Her husband, I'm assuming, over the fact that he needs the keys.
Right.
I mean, would you talk to your 5-year-old kid like that? I mean, at least with a 5-year-old, you'd be like, honey, why do you need the car keys? What do you need to get in mom's car? You know what I mean? I mean, at least you would talk to your kid like that.
And she literally talked to her husband like that. You know, why do you need the keys?
My gosh.
Like, she didn't trust him to get in the car and go, you know, hot riding or something like that.
What are you doing with my car? Get away from my car. Yeah, think about that. There's a lot of people out there that just berate their spouses, berate their girlfriends or boyfriends constantly. And I've been out to dinner with people, and I literally had the point where I've had to stop actually hanging out with those couples. I can't do it anymore. I just can't, because it started stressing me out. And it's not because I don't like them. It's not because I'm hating on them. It's just because I felt so bad for the spouse that was being berated. And there's always different reasons for why this happens now. Okay, let me explain a couple of reasons. One is that it's just total disrespect. And the marriage has lasted as long as it can. And now there's so much water under the bridge that there becomes like this argument constantly. And it's just like a constant argument. It's almost like the negative talk in your head. It's constant. And it seems like there's no other idea of how to live but to live in this constant state. The next that can happen is sometimes I've seen spouses that go off on their spouse in public because they feel like they're being walked on in their relationship. And sometimes this can come out in different ways. So a lot of times I see that when the woman feels that she's being walked on more than the man, I see that she normally will attack him in a public situation for some sort of reason, or call him out on something. Especially instead of like just kind of like, you know, building somebody up, kind of call him out. On the flip side, I've seen more men than women just basically downgrading their wife. And normally that's
like being patronizing or condescending. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Normally that's based on the fact that they're really unhappy with the marriage. It's gotten to the point where they're extremely unhappy and they are just fighting and trying to fight. They feel like they're in a cage and they're just trying to break out any way they know how. And a lot of times that's also maybe at the last step, the last straw. And I think also the biggest deal is just to have respect for yourself in the situation. I mean, when somebody's doing this to you, I mean, how does that make you feel? And not only how does that make you feel, do you realize that this is toxic? Or do you feel like this is just normal? And so a lot of times in toxic relationships, the reason why toxic relationships last is based on the fact that this seems familiar. Because let's put it this way. I wasn't raised in a toxic relationship in my family. I mean, there might have not have been always positive, but it wasn't toxic. If my spouse literally was berating me in front of people, it would not be acceptable at all. I would walk out. I would walk out and I would sit there and say later on, let's get some counseling. And if the counseling, and we couldn't talk about it together, we couldn't communicate, we couldn't respect each other, and the counseling didn't work, I'd say, you know what? That's it. I've tried my best. Thank you. Obviously, you're unhappy with me. Obviously, I can't step up to the plate for you. I'm out. Because I just wouldn't accept that, because I haven't ever been yelled at like that from my family.
Right. And I don't think Greg would accept that from you.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, he shouldn't.
No, and there's been a couple of times that both of us have gone off the handle a little bit.
Oh, sure. I mean, that happens to everybody.
Yeah. But when it does, the interesting part about how I respect him is that anytime I've ever done that, I've actually felt bad about it.
Yeah.
Like, I felt bad about it, and, you know, I just was like, man, and I felt internally bad about it, and I turned around, and within an hour of doing it, totally apologized.
Right.
I've rarely ever done anything like that in public. This is normally, like, a private argument. In public, I just think that's awful. I mean, because your spouse is supposed to be, like, your biggest advocate. Your girlfriend or boyfriend is supposed to be the biggest advocate. I mean, life's hard enough. You don't need enemies. You don't need to be sleeping with the enemy. You don't need to have these kind of problems. Okay? Especially when you go home. You should be able to go home to somebody that you love and cares about you, and you're not over there having to put up the wall of China because you're scared about what they're going to say next. What ammo are they going to unload on me today? And I've been in relationships like that before where it's constant. And I've been in relationships before where the toxicity kind of seeps under the door. It's not in your face. It's slowly but surely downgrading you and putting you down. And in those situations, like the put-downs would be kind of veiled in humor. And that's also an interesting disguise. I figure that a lot of people that are very good manipulators use humor in certain ways, certain backhanded ways, and certain put-downs kind of rolled up in one. And at first, they can kind of seem funny. And at first, you might not catch it. But if you're aware of your emotional feelings, you'll be able to feel that they're putting you down. So stay tuned. When we return, we're going to be talking about the second biggest warning sign that you're in a toxic relationship. And eventually, down at the end of the hour, I'll be talking about how you can actually figure out what to do. Stay tuned, because Perspectives, your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, I'm telling you about the four warning signs that you're in a toxic relationship. There's four specific warning signs that if these things are going on in your life and in your relationship, you are definitely in a toxic relationship, and you need to figure out what you want to do next. You know, the first one we were talking about is that your spouse or your significant other is constantly putting you down. And, you know, one of the things I didn't talk about in the last segment was that a lot of times when people put you down a lot, they use the word failure is a good word that they use. They choose that word failure. You're a failure. Oh, you lost another job? Oh, you're a complete failure.
Might as well just stick a knife in the other person's heart. That'd be kinder.
It's amazing, yeah. Right? I mean, who uses the word failure anymore?
I know.
I mean, with my clientele, the only time you ever use failure is if you don't do it. If you don't get up off the couch. I mean, if you try in life, you're not a failure. Okay? If you try in life, you're not failing. It might not have been the right avenue. There might have been a better choice, but you didn't fail. And I think a lot of times when we're in toxic relationships, right, we have a lot of negative self-talk going on anyway. And so that spouse or significant other just kind of adds to the noise. It almost like it advocates the negative talk. It's almost like it agrees to it. It's almost like, guess what? It's endorsing it. So the spouse ends up endorsing your negative self-talk and constantly playing upon that. And that's why you're letting it go in the first place, is because you already have this in your mind. And so you really can't pinpoint it, because a lot of us aren't completely clear-headed. We have a lot of negative self-talk going, and we don't really know where it's all coming from. And so when you're around a spouse or a significant other that's adding to it, it might be hard to spot. So, I mean, the whole idea of putting you down in front of other people is a big indicator that you're in a toxic relationship. If you're out with your friends and your spouse or significant other goes off on you or uses humor wrapped up in an insult, that's always the biggest one. The humor wrapped up in the insult is kind of easy to get away with. And it's not till the very end of it that it's like it has teeth. And some people don't catch it. And, you know, you have to sit there and be aware of the fact that this is happening. And a lot of times it can be because maybe the spouse is insecure and is putting you down. It could be that the spouse or significant other is upset with the marriage, upset with the relationship, or seems to feel like they're powerless. And they're going to basically put you down. And so let's talk about the second most biggest warning sign, is that they are jealous of your strengths. Think about it.
The old green-eyed monster, huh?
Jealous of the strengths.
Yeah.
The green-eyed monster. You know, so instead of appreciating your strengths, they actually despise them. Let me give you an example. Okay, let's say you're a really outgoing person. You talk to everybody. Everywhere you go, you talk to everybody. You start conversations very easily, right? You probably make friends very quickly. And I think it's interesting. They may say like, wow, you're sure talky-talky tonight. What are you on? You on any sort of drugs or alcohol? What's going on?
Yeah, because he or she's trying to knock the other one down a peg or two. Yeah.
How much have you had to drink?
Oh.
You been drinking a lot tonight? You must be already pretty trash already, huh? Yeah, I seem to not be holding it all together there. You're over there talking over there all the time. I just kind of figured you must have had quite a bit to drink, you know? I mean, that's one of them. And it's interesting, too. It's like they're not even interested in talking to you, which is funny. Like, or the spouse of the significant other might tell you that the person that you've been talking to doesn't even want to communicate with you. Oh, they're just being nice. You were talking to them. They're just being nice. They don't want to be rude. They don't have any reason to talk to you. I mean, you start thinking about this stuff going, well, maybe they don't want to talk to me. Maybe those people were just being nice. Maybe I have had a lot to drink. Maybe I am out of line.
Yeah, because if the person that you love and supposedly loves you are saying these things to you, I mean, it's going to get in your head. How could it not?
I mean, it's like you're not good enough. I mean, I've been in relationships in my past where, I mean, in one specific relationship that I remember, that it seemed like everything that was like me, everything that was a Burgessism, everything that makes Burgess, okay, they couldn't stand. I mean, seriously. And why I continue to be in that relationship is beyond me. It's like I was self-hating on myself. And I found someone else that could hate on me even more. And it's like, why? And I think a lot of times, okay, the biggest deal is our self-talk. When I'm negative self-talking, back in the day when I had a lot of negative self-talk going on, I'm not good enough, this is never going to work out. Guess what? I brought to me another person in the form of a male that also had a lot of negative self-talk, okay? So two people with a lot of negative self-talk in their heads thinking, I'm never going to be good enough, I'm not that good of this person, I'm not that smart. Guess what happens? Those two people end up fighting with each other.
You know, Ashley, two negatives don't equal positive. So I bet in your circumstances, you just accentuated each other's negatives.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like battle to the death. You know, and it was interesting because I didn't sit there and put this person down, because I think when I look back at that relationship, I was obviously the more powerful person. I had more internal power, but I did not use my power for the bad. I did not use my power to put down anybody, but he did. And I was a lot younger, and so I wasn't able to really rationalize and realize what was really going on, as well as he seemed to be reinforcing my negative self-talk. And I remember I remember going up and talking with people. I'm a very talkative person. I'm a very outgoing person.
Boy, are you ever.
Right? You know, I'm more of an introvert.
That, like in the dictionary, the definition of type A personality, it doesn't even have a definition. It just has Ashley's picture.
It just says Burgess.
Right.
Type A, a.k.a. Burgess. I guess it'd be type B then. But anyway, yeah, type A. And literally, we would go places and hang out, and he would actually undermine me. Because people would laugh and giggle and just, you know, when I talk to people, I really communicate very well. And he would be like, yeah, they were just laughing just to you know, get you away. You know, like trying to tell you to leave. They were just trying to be nice. And eventually, when somebody keeps telling you that over and over again, you start wondering.
Yeah.
Maybe that's true. Maybe I'm not really what I think I am. And if you stay around somebody in a relationship that's toxic long enough, you're going to lose yourself.
You know, there's a term for that, Ashley, mind games.
Mind games, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and people do that all the time. I mean, think about the mind games that people play on people as a power position. And think about subconsciously how people play mind games when they feel like they're powerless. So it's not always like some sort of vindictive Dr. Evil with the hairless cat and the little pinky finger up by, you know, by their lips. It's not that at all. A lot of times it's subconsciously being done in the fact that it's not Dr. Evil with the hairless cat. It's actually them thinking about their own self and actually making comments about their own self. Because you know what? He actually thought, now that I can step back and look at all this, he actually thought that he was not a very good communicator. He knew he wasn't a very good communicator. And because he could not stand that I am such a good communicator, it was a problem for him. And it's funny, even to this day, we still occasionally talk. And we had to get past a lot of nonsense, and we forgave each other and all that stuff. And this was years and years ago. But it's funny, because I listened to his voicemail, and it's awful. It's awful. I look back at this now, and I realize this guy is not a good communicator.
Wait a minute. Hold it. You actually kept his voicemails?
No. When I call his voicemail,
it sounds like
a computer is reading off a freaking piece of paper.
Gotcha.
Okay? Like he's not a very good communicator. And now that I look back at it, he resented the fact that I'm a good communicator. He resented every bit of it. Because every time I walked in a room, I knew everybody.
Do you think it was kind of a male ego thing? You know, like he was supposed to be the center of attention, and you're just supposed to be, you know, the eye candy?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, think about it. I mean, yeah.
You are eye candy, by the way. But, you know, you also have a type A personality.
Type A personality, eye candy, Burgess. Yes. Yeah, he was like being him, and he was being insecure. And you know, there was a lot of things that I should have been like the red flags. You know, yeah, that's a red flag. He was being very insecure. And so for everybody listening tonight, if you're in a relationship where one of your major strengths is being devoid of value all the time by the person that is your spouse or your loved one, you need to sit there and wonder what's going on. And there's a time that you have to have a communication. You have to sit down and sit that person down and let them know that you figured it out. And it's not hard. I mean, figure out what is it that they're putting down. What is the strength that I know is a strength? Don't kid yourself. Don't sit there and go, oh, I don't know if I'm a good communicator. I don't know what my strengths are. You know what your strengths are. Now figure it out. Step back from the brainwashing for a second and figure it out. And then realize, okay, oh, he must be the opposite of that. And the sad thing is that in a good relationship, you know what a good relationship does? What? They actually bring you up. They actually congratulate you for the things that you're good at. They're not over there trying to put you down, because you know what? They're not competing with you on that level. It's not a competition. A marriage is not a competition unless you're married to some crazy ass. I mean, like, this is insane. It's not a competition. A marriage is supposed to be a mutual respect, a relationship. A girlfriend and boyfriend are supposed to have mutual respect. So when we return, we're going to be talking more about the four warning signs. We talked about putting you down, about jealousy restraints. We're going to begin to talk about something that is very dear to my heart as far as something that will actually get to you and realize first and foremost that yes, indeed, you are in a toxic relationship. This is the end all be all. So stay tuned. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we're talking about the four biggest warning signs that you're in a toxic relationship. Huh. Yeah, these are important. The last thing you want to do is marry a toxic relationship, and if you are in a marriage that is toxic, you need to know about it, because you need to figure out your strategy. Whether it's going to counseling, whether it's communication, or whether you're figuring out your ex's strategy, you got to figure it out now. Because toxic relationships do not help you. They do not help you to grow. They do not help you to function. All they do is add stress and pain and agony to your life. And why would you want that? You don't need that. You can be happy. And the cool thing about it is we all have the ability to be happy. We all have the ability to be groovy, baby. So like right before the break, we were talking about how people have a tendency when you're in a toxic relationship to be jealous of your strengths. And, you know, I gave an example of my strength, which is the concept of being a good communicator, an excellent communicator, someone that can meet a person and that person will remember them for the rest of their life. We can connect. We can talk. We have a good time. And that's something that one of my relationships, my boyfriend at the time, put down constantly. Another thing was my general attitude. I'm a very positive person. I like being positive. I mean, it's a lot easier to be positive than it is to be negative. And you know what? It makes me feel better. But I was around one person that literally could not stand my positive attitude. Like, every time I walked in the house, oh, geez, would you just be quiet? Oh, God, could you just tone it down? I mean, like, after a while, I started toning down. I became, like, not me. Like, I became this meek version of Burgess, which was insane. It wasn't even Burgess anymore. I became Ashley.
I was going to say, I can't even imagine that.
It's like I became little Ashley. You know what I mean? Like, the Burgess went away.
Not even little Ashley. Like, I don't know. Choose a name. Susie. I mean,
little Susie.
No offense to all the Susies out there.
But true. I was like, what is happening to me? And it wasn't until I kind of stepped back and, you know, you run into some friends and they'll be like, dude, you okay? And then you start realizing, this isn't right. I mean, I should be able to express myself. I mean, and I'm not talking about like going crazy, going up. I'm talking about you should be able to express yourself honestly without like having a judgment. And on top of that, for someone to be so jealous that they cut you down to size all the time, that's toxic. Because in a good, positive relationship, what's the opposite of that? They build you up. They give you kudos for the things that you do well. And they're not trying to compete. In no time am I trying to compete with my husband on anything. I'm not ever trying to compete to be better than him in anything. That's not even something I'm even thinking about. I mean, our relationship is not based on competition. And you know, that's the key, is that you have to realize there can be some fun competition, i.e. maybe you both take IQ tests and see who's smarter. That's kind of funny. And you're only using that as a fun, just a fun, you know, Saturday. And I know that's kind of a crazy Saturday for some people. But, you know, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But, I mean, if you're going to sit there and put down and berate your spouse or a significant other because of something they do well, there's a problem there. And it's your own insecurities. And so if you're in the process of a toxic relationship and you're creating the toxic relationship, why are you doing this? Why are you so insecure about that person's like abilities and strengths that you got to put them down? That doesn't make any sense. Why did you get involved with this relationship in the first place?
You think it might be an inferiority complex type thing? You know, I feel inferior to you, therefore I'm going to knock you down to my level so I don't feel so bad?
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think that a lot of times that's what it is. I mean, it's also maybe feeling like you wish you had that strength. Or you're like kind of jealous of the way that people react. And sometimes that can be also like harboring the will that I wish I could do that. Other times it could be the jealous factor of you're taking time with other people and you're doing stuff outside of the relationship. And other times it's just basic control. I want to control you and I want to take you down a size and I want to control you. And I'm going to tell you what I want you to be. And a lot of times in relationships, I see that all the time in my office coming in and out. Of clients that have been controlled for a period of years that really don't know their head from their butt anymore. And they certainly don't know their strengths. I mean, I've even had clients in the past that have gone through complete reconstructive plastic surgery to look the way their spouse wants them to look. Wow. I mean, you can think of certain stories in the past, like, you know, Liberace's boyfriend, all these type of people. People think, oh, that had to be like that kind of person. That was that kind of relationship. No, there are people that do that now. That the husband says, no, change all this. No, your nose is too big. You got this and going on and that going on. And the flip side too, you know, not being good enough. So let's talk about the third thing. And this is the big deal. This is one of the kickers here, to know that you're in a totally toxic relationship. When you begin to question yourself, you start feeling crazy. I mean, you feel like you're on crazy pills. You're always confused. You don't understand where you stand. You don't get it. Where do you stand? You don't realize or understand the general idea. You're always worried. You're always on edge, and you're not comfortable. Think about it. When was the last time that you questioned yourself about the relationship? And a lot of times when you're in a relationship and somebody tells you something and you remember it, and then later on you're talking about it and you reinstate basically what they said. They said, no, I never said that. What are you talking about? I mean, Ashley, you're crazy. You're losing it. And you start feeling crazy because everything that you're being told, you remember. But yet, when you talk about it later on, that's not the case. I mean, I've been
it's
there.
It's like
before.
Twilight Zone stuff, you know. Do.
Haven't you been there before?
Yes.
I've been there. Where you sit there and you go, is that really real? I've been there in the beginning. I remember in the beginning where it starts off slow. And it's like one or two things. And then eventually it's like on a daily basis. And then you actually start wondering, am I losing my mind? You know what I'm saying? Do I not remember what I'm being told? Am I not hearing it correctly? I mean, you start literally going, man, maybe I am losing my mind. And that person's over there going, Bill, you got a problem. I don't understand. You know, it would be like your girlfriend going, you know what, Bill? I don't know what's going on with you. Okay, but this is what I said. And you're just over there like, man, I must be losing it. I mean, I need to take some more vitamins. Maybe I need to get some more sleep.
Yeah.
Maybe something's wrong with me. And you start taking all the credit for all of this questioning. And guess what? Now they got you right where they want you.
Because now you don't know whether you're coming or going. And the other person's in a position to manipulate you.
Yeah, the example of, you know, calling up your spouse or calling up your girlfriend or boyfriend you haven't heard from them. Hey, I know you said you were coming home for dinner at 7. How's it going? I never said that. I'm not going to be home tonight. I'm out of town. I'm surprised. I don't even understand where you're at. I don't understand. You're obviously not listening to me. I told you I was out of town. I told you this. And you're over there thinking, I swear. You know, and it starts off small and it starts off with little things.
Yeah.
And then eventually they normally make little comments like, man, you're starting to get like your mom, losing it a little bit. You know?
You might as well just stab the other person in the heart rather than say something like that.
Like, you must be losing your mind a little bit. Or man, maybe all that sleep medication you've been taking has been messing with your short-term memory. I know your mom has dementia. I mean, your grandmother had dementia, right?
Wow.
I mean, seriously, think about it. I mean, Ashley or, you know, whoever they're talking to, you might have some concerns there. I mean, or you're not listening. And I've actually had friends that have had this happen where it starts off very slow and very small. And then eventually it becomes so big that they look at you and they go, I have no idea what's going on. Apparently, I need to go. I've even had friends of mine check into a facility because they literally thought they were losing their mind. And their spouse was telling them they're losing their mind. And they go, well, God, I must be losing my mind. And it's crazy how people can get really out of control and controlling and want to use somebody. And so if you're feeling like you don't understand where you stand in your relationship, if you feel that you're always on edge, if you feel like you don't know what to say, if you start questioning what you should say before something comes out of your mouth and you start literally, I guess what you say is checking everything you say and clarify it and qualifying it in your mind before you say it and wondering if it's going to go over okay and is this going to work and how are they going to respond to what I say, you're not in a good relationship. I mean, you have been beaten down so much mentally that you can't even say something. You can't even make a comment. You don't even know what to say.
And, you know, actually, real quickly, I think you just hit upon the underlying concept here. When people think of abusive relationships, they tend to think of physical abuse. And yes, that is, an abusive relationship. A lot of times, the mental stuff can be crueler than the physical stuff.
Yeah, it's painful. People don't even realize they're being abused. I mean, think about that. I mean, like, to question yourself. To be so uncomfortable. To be so out of touch, not knowing what to do. I mean, think about what a successful relationship is. A successful, good quality relationship. You can say how you feel. You're not rude, but you can say how you feel. You don't have to sit there and prejudge what you're going to say before you say it. You're not always wondering how it's going to work. It's almost like being a comedian trying to work a room and trying to figure out what the best joke's going to be. And how far is this joke going to go over? Is this going to get a response? Is this going to get a laugh? Is this going to get a boo? Let me qualify it. Let me quantify it. Let me figure this out. Okay, I'm just not going to say anything. And that's how these relationships become, is that you don't even know if what you have to say has merit anymore, because every time you open your mouth and say how you feel, you get beaten down. Because that was a stupid comment. Or you don't know what you're talking about. Or you barely listen. Or, man, we need to check. I mean, maybe we should check it out. Maybe you might be getting dementia or something because you seem to not remember anything I say.
Or it doesn't really matter what they say. It's the tone of voice that you use. But look, sweetheart, would you please, go sit down over there or go get me a beer or something, please? You know, we're trying to have, just that, talk to you like you're 6 years old or something like that.
Oh, yeah, there's somebody else in the room. They're like, we're trying to have an adult conversation. I mean, I've heard other adults use that before. We're having an adult conversation. Honey, we're having a deep conversation. It's a little over your head. Do you mind going and grabbing those appetizers out of the kitchen? Thanks, sweetheart. I've heard that before. I've even heard women do that to men, too, where you're flabbergasted. You're like, they really said that. I mean, there would be a backhand so quick. You know what I mean? You couldn't even say Burgess if you're backhand. So stay tuned. We return. We're talking last but not least, the number 4 warning sign. And if this checks out, we need to figure out what's up with your relationship. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in 2 shakes. You could
be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We're talking tonight about the 4 biggest warning signs that indicate that you're in a toxic relationship. Number one was that you're always being put down by your mate or your spouse, especially in public, even in private. You're being put down, you're being cut down to size, you're being made fun of, even if it's wrapped up in a joke. An insult wrapped up in a joke is just as painful. The second one is that they're actually jealous of your strengths. And they actually point out your strength, but don't point it as a strength. They show it as a weakness. And they actually make fun of you, or they try to undercut that strength to make you feel like it's no longer a strength, but maybe it's something that you need to just disregard or discard all in its entirety. The third was that you begin to question yourself. You start feeling crazy. Did I hear that right? I swear that's what he said. I swear that's what she said. They start maybe questioning maybe your mental state, your mental capability, your hearing ability. You start wondering, I don't know. You also start questioning where you stand, but you also start questioning what you should say. When you start censoring your own comments with your significant other, we have a problem. This is a huge problem. You should not have to censor yourself with your spouse or your significant other, period. I mean, yeah, there's certain things you don't want to say rude. I mean, like, you don't want to go out there and go, whatever, when you're in a bad mood or you're in an argument or whatever. But for the most part, you should not have to censor yourself at all. I mean, this should be a judgment-free zone. And why I say this is that a lot of times we question ourselves, and when you're in a toxic relationship, it's no longer really a love relationship, it's a competition. It's a competition of who can put each other down more, who's better, who's more successful. And we've all had those friends that we know that are in a toxic relationship. So tonight, this show might not even apply to you, but it might apply to a good friend of yours or a family member that you've seen this firsthand. And these are things that you need to bring up to them. Because if you care about them and you respect them as a person and you want to see them happy, you need to tell them about this show on Perspectives that really resonated with you about the four key warning signs about toxic relationships, because sometimes people don't see it in their own relationships. If you're a best friend of somebody and you know that they're suffering in a majorly toxic relationship, but they don't realize it, you've got to step up to the plate and let them know. Because sometimes people have been in such toxic upbringings that they don't get it. They don't understand. Other times it can take them totally, it can literally sideswipe them that they don't realize what's going on. They're like in a blender and they can't get their footing. And they're constantly questioning themselves, overanalyzing, underanalyzing. They can completely not act. They're in a position of non-action because they don't know if what they're going to do is going to be right. Last but not least, number four, is if you're in a toxic relationship, your spouse or significant other may make fun of your body and performance in bed. Big time.
Ooh, and, you know, well, I'm speaking from the male standpoint. I mean, if Jen just wanted to insult me to the very core of my being, then she would insult my performance.
In bed.
In bed, yes. I mean, that's, you know, that I cannot think of a worse insult to a male. And I would think, you know, same thing, you know, the opposite direction too. But of course, you know, I don't have the personal experience of that.
Well, that's good. I mean, in this lifetime, that's
in this lifetime,
thing.
Anyway, yeah.
You know, that's you're not Jenner right now, so that's okay. Bruce Jenner, so that's all good.
Right, but
you know, God bless him.
Real quickly, actually, I mean, I don't know about you, but you know, between soap operas and movies and TV shows and, you know, porn, quite frankly, you know, I think we have unrealistic expectations of sex these days, and you know, real life ain't like that.
Honestly, I think that's a good observation. And I recently had a client that came in and told me that her husband actually told me that her boobs are completely sagged. They're completely sagged. She has no kids, but her boobs are completely sagged. She needs full liposuction. And that she's so old that no other man would ever be with her.
Ugh.
She's 41 years of age.
Wow.
Okay. And I've seen her, and this is simply not true. It's just not. And sadly, for a lot of people who are with someone for a period of time, they begin to believe what they're being told. And she actually, when she first told me that in session, I mean, I understand that people age, but come on. And he literally told her that her boobs are completely sagged, that she would need a full boob job, that she might need a facelift, that she needs full liposuction because no man on this planet will have sex with her besides him. And he's chosen not to have sex with her because he just can't deal with it, because he can't get it up, because he just can't deal with her. And I mean, to me, that is a huge red flag.
Yeah, I bet she feels about an inch tall.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah. Even when she's telling me about it, you know, her head's down, she, you know, she's pushing back a tear. And I mean, that is just unacceptable. I mean, there comes a time in your life that you got to step up to the plate. And if you're in a toxic relationship where somebody's putting down your body and putting down your sexual ability, I mean, I've had clients that have come in here and men or women being put down in the bed. And it's like, that is a very vulnerable situation to be in to begin with. And on top of that, to make fun, to put down. If you don't like the sex, then you got to figure out what you want to do. But to put that down, that seems wrong. And to put somebody's body down and to literally cut them down as far as you can possibly do that, that to me is somebody that has no backbone, somebody that's completely insecure, and somebody needs to probably check into a facility. Because that is unacceptable. And anytime anybody's going through a toxic relationship, though, a lot of times you might not see it as unacceptable. A lot of times you might see it at first as them being helpful. Because people always feel like, oh, well, my spouse will never be like that, or my girlfriend or boyfriend never be like that. They just got to be helpful, I guess. They're just trying to help me out. And I've been in relationships like that before where I remember I was in one relationship. This was years and years ago. And my boyfriend, I was thinking about having a breast augmentation.
Now, this is different from the other one you were talking about.
Yes, okay, I've been in several relationships. I was engaged 7 times before I got married to my husband, and that was the 8th engagement. I gave back every ring.
You know what the problem is? You're a hopeless romantic.
I know, right? I love romance. But I gave back every ring, okay? So I didn't take the ring.
Good for you.
I wasn't one of those kind of gals. Good, so anyway, you. I remember I was with one guy, and we were together for a year. We lived together. And I remember I had an opportunity because we had a friend that's a plastic surgeon.
Okay.
And, you know, he was like, hey, I'll do your breast augmentation. I'll just cover the medical facility. And I'll do it. I was like, and at that time, I didn't have very much money at all. I was like, wow, I'd love to have a breast augmentation. I'd like to have big boobs, you know. And I remember like thinking about that. And I was like, oh, this is great. And I remember coming home and telling my boyfriend about it. He's like, no, you're not allowed to get boobs. There's no way. I go, okay, why? And he's like, because if you got boobs, you would leave me. Because then men would find you attractive. And that's just...
Oh, as if you weren't attractive right now.
Yes.
Oh.
Isn't that awful?
Oh.
Isn't that awful?
Yes.
Oh, my God. And people do that all the time. I am not kidding you. Men and women do that all the time to each other. Okay? All the time. And he was like, yeah, you would be so attractive that you can't do that because other men would want you then. Like, I wasn't desirable before. And, you know, if you hear that long enough, you'll believe it. And who has the right to say what you can do to your body? That's unbelievable. I mean, and I stuck in that relationship for like another 6 months, and then I was like, I'm outie. Outie 500, I'm out of this relationship. Because it dawned on me that this is not right. It dawned on me that this is always going to be like this. I mean, he was also in the same person. He was also very, it was all about him. He could do whatever he wanted to do. I could not do anything I wanted to do. My friends had to be girls or gay men. I could not have any straight male friends. It was not acceptable.
And that's a major warning sign, too. If your significant other is controlling who you can see and not see, then that's a bad sign.
It's funny, when he said Nazi, it sounds like Nazi. Think about it. It's the same, though. It's like this regime where they're in charge of you. I mean, I know a friend of mine that literally could not go to lunch with a female because his wife said that she could never eat or have lunch or hang out on his own with a female. I mean, that's insane. I mean, that kind of control is a toxic relationship. That kind of control takes away your independence and makes you a minion. It doesn't only make you a minion, it makes you a disciple. Like, why should you, like, you know, you're literally like bowing down to whoever you're in this relationship with. I mean, you know, honestly, understand that if you know somebody that's in a toxic relationship or you're in a toxic relationship, stop, look, and listen and realize, are any of these four adequate for that relationship? Are any of these four being dealt with? If they are, step back. And if it's personal, you need to figure out what you want to do next. And I really advise the fact of either speaking and talking and trying to get this out in the air and try to figure it out. But if you've already done this, you've got to break it. You've got to break the cycle. You can't continue this. If you want to be happy and you want to be healthy minded and you want to be healthy in spirit and health and mind, you've got to move on. And we'll do more shows about this in the future because I think that this really needs to be talked about. I think that a lot of people are in these toxic relationships and just think that maybe my spouse is hypercritical. Maybe my spouse has OCD and they just want the best for me. Well, in these situations, in all four of these, that's not the best for you. That's the absolute worst for you. That's the opposite of the best. Your spouse or your significant other is supposed to cheerlead you, supposed to praise you, supposed to be happy for the things that you do well. It's supposed to be happy and relish in your successes, not in your failures. We have a great show for you next, and stay tuned. I think this was a great show, Bill.
I liked it very much. Thanks, Ashley.
So get out of that toxic relationship once and for all and begin to realize and stop the brainwashing. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in 3 Shakes.